KUOW podcasts are made possible by listener support. Become a new or renewing member today at KUOW.org.
From KUOW 94.9 Seattle, I'm David Hyde. Author Jessica Valenti says having children is not making people more happy, so why have kids? The Guardian calls Jessica Valenti a pioneering blogger who dragged feminism into the 21st century. And her new book is called Why Have Kids? A New Mom Explores the Truth About Parenting and Happiness. Jessica Valenti, thanks so much for being here.
Thank you for having me.
So I kind of have to ask the personal question. Why did you decide to have kids?
Well, I guess the serious answer is that I grew up with a very large extended Italian family and always knew that I wanted a similar sort of situation for myself. The less serious answer is that my daughter is two and she asks me questions like, what do boogers do? And for me, that's completely reason enough.
What's the answer to that question? No, I don't want to go there. But how much pressure do you think there is to have children in 2012 compared to, say, 30 years ago?
I mean, I think there's less pressure, but I think there's still an inordinate amount of stigma attached to people who decide not to have children, particularly women. You know, there's still this kind of idea that, of course, women will have children, and we don't just want them, we, like, crave them. And that once we do become mothers, which, of course, we will become mothers, you know, it'll be the most important, joyful, fulfilling, amazing, incredible experience of our lives. I mean, of course, while children bring us a lot of joy, that's not necessarily the case every day. There's a lot of struggle attached to parenting, and I don't think we're necessarily talking about that as much.
And you did some research or looked at other people who have done research for your book into how happy people are who have kids compared to people who don't have kids. And what did you find out?
Parents are generally a little bit unhappier. But, you know, I think kind of the assumption people immediately go to is, oh, well, you're saying not to have children and that it's such a terrible thing. And, of course, that's not the case. The argument I'm really making in the book is that we need to create more support structures for parents so that we can make our lives a little bit easier and a little bit happier. You know, we live in a country where we hold parenting up as this amazing ideal, but we do very little to actually support parents. We don't have parental paid leave, mandated paid leave for parents. We don't have paid sick days. We don't have subsidized child care. So it's really time that we put our money where our mouth is.
And I want to unpack some of those ideas a little bit later, but what are some of the reasons why you think kids are making people so unhappy these days?
Well, you know, one of the more interesting studies I found was that for women in particular and new mothers, mothers of new babies, was that one of the main reasons that they were unhappy was the unequal division of labor in the household once the baby came along. And even in kind of couples that were very egalitarian before the baby came along, once they had children, they kind of fell into very traditional gender roles domestically, and that was making women very unhappy.
Jessica Valenti's new book is Why Have Kids? A New Mom Explores the Truth About Parenting and Unhappiness. You also write about something that I hadn't heard of called elimination communication or the diaper freedom movement. That sounds like something that would make almost anybody unhappy. What is it?
Yeah, you know, it's kind of a new parenting trend that's part of the kind of larger overall natural parenting movement. And the idea is that children, you know, who are infants, really just weeks old, don't need diapers. That if you watch your baby's face for cues that they need to go to the bathroom, you can kind of rush them to the toilet and hold them over the toilet and make a sound in their ear to kind of train them to go to the bathroom whenever you make that sound, which, of course, is kind of bizarre on its own, but also assumes that the parent, and in most cases the woman, has this kind of time to just sit around and watch your baby's face for signs of, you know, an impending elimination.
And you also write about attachment parenting. You write about breastfeeding, things that are very much in the news. What's your overall perspective on kind of the modern trends or 21st century trends in parenting, especially how it affects women?
Well, you know, I think the kind of broader problem I see is that we talk a lot about what individual parents are doing. You know, the big kind of kerfuffle when Time magazine came out with that cover of the woman breastfeeding her four-year-old. And we're more interested in talking about that stuff than we are in talking about the broader political issues that could actually help parents. But when I do write about attachment parenting and breastfeeding and kind of the natural parenting trend, it seems to me a kind of good idea in theory, but in practice what's happening is that it's very much kind of bringing women back to traditional domestic roles in the home.
Tell me a little bit more about why you think that's happening.
You know, it's hard to say. I think in one way women are kind of, the proponents of it at least I should say, are embracing it as a kind of new feminist standard, I suppose. And there's a point to be made there, you know, that we don't traditionally value women's care work. We don't traditionally value things like breastfeeding. And, of course, there should be support for things like that. But it's hard to get over the fact that when you talk about something like attachment parenting, where the idea is that women should literally be with their children at all times, have the baby attached to you in a sling, be breastfeeding, be co-sleeping. It's hard to get over the fact that that puts an incredible amount of pressure on women, you know, to be perfect parents, to do everything and be everything for their children, and really leaves men out of the equation entirely.
Jessica Valenti's new book is Why Have Kids? A New Mom Explores the Truth About Parenting and Happiness. And just for clarification purposes, what exactly is attachment parenting for people who aren't familiar with Dr. Sears and his books?
Sure. So attachment parenting was kind of created by Dr. William Sears. And there are a whole bunch of tenets to it, but the main ones are that parents, to kind of make sure that they have the best bond possible with their children, I should say mothers, not really parents, but mothers should co-sleep with their babies, breastfeed their babies for as long as possible, wear their babies on a sling for as long as they possibly can, and really just basically be within arm's length of their children for as long as possible up until like the toddler years.
And are you calling into question the kind of pediatric literature about best breastfeeding, or the, you know, what Dr. Sears is saying about the benefits, potential benefits of attachment parenting, or is it something else?
It's a little bit of everything. You know, I find the kind of idea that Dr. Sears' philosophy that attachment parenting is a return to more quote unquote natural parenting a little bit offensive. It kind of sets women up against each other. If one parent is a natural parent, what does that make another kind of parent? And so I certainly have a problem with that. With the breastfeeding issue, what I write about a lot in the book is how dogmatic we've become about breast is best. When the studies don't necessarily bear that out, I quote a woman who wrote a fantastic book. Her name is Joan Wolf, and her book is Breast Best. And she kind of looks at the way that these studies are not necessarily as strong as we make them out to be. And the way that we can pressure women to breastfeed is part of this whole other movement to make women completely immersed in motherhood and to kind of lose their identity, their individual identity in motherhood.
We're talking to author Jessica Valenti. She founded the blog Feministing, and her new book is called Why Have Kids? A New Mom Explores the Truth About Parenting and Happiness. If you've got questions, if you want to talk to Jessica Valenti, give us a call. The number is 206-543-5869. So one of the things you write about is this kind of weird pressure that women are experiencing to either work or stay home. It sounds like people are experiencing the pressure to sort of do both. What did you find there in talking to moms?
Well, yeah, I think there is pressure to do both. It's really a no-win situation for moms, I think. You know, no matter what you decide to do, assuming that, you know, that decision wasn't made for you by financial circumstances, you lose out kind of culturally in terms of the standards and the judgment. If you are working, then you're doing your child a great disservice by having them in daycare. If you stay at home, then you're somehow, you know, a traitor to feminism. You know, the fact that we're still focusing on women in this way, again, instead of talking about the structural problems, I think is the real issue.
And, you know, you also kind of compare the pressures or tensions that women face today to the tensions that surrounded being a mom and being a woman in the sort of Mad Men era in the 1960s that yeah. Betty Friedan writes about in The Feminine Mystique. How do you think the things have changed?
You know, things have changed, but things have also stayed the same. I said recently to someone, I feel like we're living in Betty Friedan's dystopian nightmare when it comes to motherhood. You know, part of her argument in The Feminine Mystique was that women needed to have identities, public, individual identities, outside of their roles as wives and mother. But now we're kind of seeing this return to mother first, women calling themselves mothers first, and really subsuming their individual identity into their role as mother.
How happy does having a kid make you?
It makes me very happy, actually. You know, I had a difficult time early in parenthood because my daughter was born very early and had some health problems, so that was difficult. But other than that, I'm doing pretty good.
And so how do you relate your personal experience to a lot of the unhappiness that you document in the book?
Well, you know, for me, and this was a big reason for why I wanted to write the book, I had incredible expectations about what parenthood would look like and feel like and be like. And, of course, because, you know, my daughter was born prematurely, I got very sick, I had a very traumatic childbirth, she was very ill for a long time, all of those expectations were really dashed. And I think those expectations are what set me up to be so distraught once my daughter was born. And of course, my example is a very extreme one, but the more parents I talked to, it seemed like people had very kind of similar stories of different variations around this theme of, this is not what I thought it was going to be.
I have to say, you know, for me personally, I've got a 5-year-old son, and he definitely makes me happy, but it's not, when I was reading this book, I was thinking, well, it's not like, you know, going on vacation makes me happy. It's another kind of happy. But at the same time, I mean, the unhappiness that you're documenting in this book is actually pretty extreme. And you mentioned earlier some of the ways in which you think that could be solved. And I want to get into that a little bit. Where do you see some hope?
I think, you know, I'm coming from a feminist point of view, so a lot of my hope really comes from implementing gender justice in the domestic sphere, and certainly thinking about motherhood and parenthood more in the political sphere as well. And, you know, I think part of the problem, and you mentioned this a little bit, is that we think that parenting should make us happy to begin with. The idea of parental happiness is a relatively modern phenomenon. You know, Americans used to have kids to raise good citizens, to be part of a community. And now when you ask Americans, why do you want to have children, they say for the joy of it. So I think we're setting ourselves up a little bit to fail in that regard.
So what does that mean? We need to lower our expectations about what having kids means?
I think so. I think that we need to lower our expectations in terms of what parental happiness is going to look like, and that we need to change our expectations about, you know, why we want to have children. If you're putting your entire happiness or the idea of fulfillment, which of course is very nebulous, into parenthood, I think you're going to be disappointed. But I also think culturally there's kind of an important thing there. When you tell parents, when you tell mothers especially, that children should make you happy, that children bring joy, children bring fulfillment, again, that's a very kind of nebulous goal. That's not something that's easy to fight for. There's no tangible kind of actions that you can take. But if we're talking about fighting for a more just parenthood, that's actually something we can fight for.
Jessica Valenti's new book is Why Have Kids? A New Mom Explores the Truth About Parenting and Happiness. So, Jessica Valenti, what's the work-life balance like for women today, and what should it be like, and how do we get there?
That is a tremendous question that a lot of people are trying to take on right now. You know, I think most American parents, and you know, this is not just women, this is for men as well, would like more workplace flexibility. They would like to be with their kids more. They would like to get paid more. I think one of the big things that we can do to help parents in this regard is to fight for universal pre-K, to fight for subsidized childcare, and to kind of culturally rethink the way we talk about daycare and childcare. Right now, when we talk about childcare, we kind of assume that the best thing for kids is to be with a parent, preferably at home. And daycare is seen as the last best available option. And I think daycare is actually wonderful for kids, and we should start talking about it as if it were wonderful, because it is.
Is your daughter in daycare?
She is.
And what has your experience been like?
My experience has been wonderful. I think it's been really amazing for my daughter to have multiple adults in her life who really care for her. to be around children her own age, to be around her peers, to socialize. I think it's a great thing.
Is she in kind of a schmancy daycare? I mean, do you think everybody is experiencing that same sort of sense of how great it is?
It's not super schmancy, but certainly, you know, I'm able to afford a daycare that I'm happy with, and that's not the case for too many parents. There are parents in the U.S. who are paying up to a third of their income to child care, and this is part of the reason that we need to fight for subsidized child care, certainly.
But where do you see that happening? Where, you know, just in terms of where public policy is right now, budgets seem like they're pretty tight. I mean, do you see any evidence that things are maybe moving closer in the direction you'd like them to go?
No, I don't see any evidence of that, unfortunately. I mean, I think part of the problem is that we need to build the cultural will to make that happen, and we're not necessarily doing that. You know, there's certainly organizations, great organizations like Moms Rising, that are doing this work, that are fighting for these things. But, you know, you don't see it, again, on the cover of Time magazine being talked about in the same way that you see kind of the at-home issues like breastfeeding.
Another question I just had was about role models, and I kind of wanted to end there. Back in the 70s, you had somebody like Mary Tyler Moore in the media, who, although she's a fictional character, you know, ended up being actually a pretty important role model and a historical figure in her own right. And I'm wondering if you see any role models today for women that can help, you know, chart this direction that you think things ought to go.
You know, I don't. And I actually think that maybe role models is part of the problem. You know, I think of all of the articles that came out about Marissa Mayer or Sheryl Sandberg, right, and work-life balance there, and is Marissa Mayer going to take her maternity leave or not take her maternity leave? I think people are looking for role models, but we're looking to people who are generally very elite. You know, it doesn't matter if Marissa Mayer takes maternity leave or not. Her kid is going to be just fine. So I kind of think it's more important that we focus on the parents around us, the parents in our communities. What do we want for them?
And so ultimately, the solutions are political, they're structural, they're not personal? The personal is not political?
I think the personal is certainly political, but we could use more of the political these days.
All right, Jessica Valenti, thanks so much for talking to us.
Thank you for having me.
Jessica Valenti's new book is Why Have Kids? Today's program was produced and directed by Arwin Nix. We also got production help from Molly Williams and Leslie McClurg. Engineer Andy Hurst ran the board, and the conversation continues on our Facebook page. It's KUOW's The Conversation with Ross Reynolds. From KUOW 94.9 Seattle, I'm David Hyde.
Thanks for listening. The program you just heard was made possible by the financial support of our listeners. Support this program and others like it by making a pledge today at KUOW.org.